All right, open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. The book of 1 John, chapter 3. We're in a series of messages entitled, Christ is Our Life. And we take that title from the book of Colossians, where it talks about that. He actually uses that actual phrase. Last week and the last couple of Sundays, we've talked about Christ being our life and in the family, and how we should, you know, as a believer in Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your relationship, our relationship with Christ should affect every area of our life. Amen? Can I get a witness? That relationship, literally, everything springs from that, right? Our relationship with Jesus, everything goes out from that. In knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, He absolutely is the one that changed your life. He's the one that forgave you of your sin. He's the one that has the power to help you. Did you hear that statement? He has the power to help you. He has the power to help you in your relationship with your children. Can praise His holy name. He has the power to help you in your relationship with your spouse. He has the power to help you in your relationship with other people, and we'll be talking about that as we continue through this series. But today, I want to talk to you today, and maybe you're here today and say, Brother Tracy, what do you do, though, if you feel that you failed? Well, Christ is our life when your heart says failure. Christ is our life even when your heart says failure. You ever feel like you failed? Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever felt like, man, I messed up big time this time? You ever made a mistake? Yes. I had that happen recently. Had a situation where in the home and with a cell phone, you saw me post on cell phone, I destroyed my phone. That's a literal statement. I shared that with Sunday school this morning, and I am not one that slams doors when I get mad. I am not a person that, you know, throws things or anything like that. Never have been. But I had a situation where a cell phone was involved, and I said, that's it. I've had enough. Give me the cell phone. So I took the cell phone, and have a seat there, bud. All right. Thank you for coming up front. Appreciate that. Had a situation with a cell phone, and I said, that's it, I'm done. I said, give me the cell phone. I took the cell phone. I said, let's give me a hammer. Amen? See where I'm going with this? I said, I'm done. I'm done with it. Done with it. So I took the cell phone, went outside, threw it on the concrete, and beat it to a million pieces. You said, preacher, you did that? Yeah, and I promise you, I am not normally, I am not that kind of person. So I picked up the pieces, and I had an exhilarating moment. Woo, man, this is wonderful. Been wanting to do this for a long time. Threw it, got home, got in. The battery, of course, was leaking now, so it's getting hot, so I threw it in a little bowl. I reached back in my pocket, Brother Al, and pulled out the cell phone in question, only to realize I had beat my personal cell phone to a million pieces. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And as I was hitting this cell phone, honestly, I'm hitting this cell phone, Bill, and as I'm hitting this cell phone, I honestly thought, true story, not lying, true story, I thought, man, when did they get a cover for that phone? I don't recall a cover being on that phone. And I'm beating it to a million pieces. So that exhilaration lasted for about 5 seconds until I realized that was my cell phone. So pray for me. And then I felt like a little teenager because I couldn't leave the house because UPS was bringing me another one. And they told me they were going to be there at 3 o'clock, but they lied. They didn't get there until 6:30. And it was so bad. It was so bad that I was... How many of you know what a landline is? Anybody know what a landline is? Yeah. All old people. All of us old people raise their hand. You can put your hands down now. But so literally, I had to call Brother Andy, you know, and share that prayer request with him. So I called Brother Andy, and I'm talking on the landline. Ashley looks at me, and she goes, back to a landline, huh, Dad? My kids are so mean to me. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't have lost your temper. I didn't lose my temper. I was very focused. I was honestly very focused. But here's my new cell phone. Aren't you so thankful for me? I feel like Vanna White right now. But But you know what? So I messed up there. I made a mistake. Lori's dying. You'll be able to respond in a minute, Lori, at the altar. That stuff happens. Sometimes people say, "Where do you get all your illustrations?" I'm a walking illustration, man. I am a walking sermon illustration. That's the story of my life. I mean, you name it. Me and Cameron one time got pepper sprayed at Walmart. I mean, true story. I mean, we're walking. You say, some of you are like, "What'd you steal?" No, didn't steal nothing. We pulled up and there was two ladies fighting and arguing. And all of a sudden, I saw the lady's arm go like this, you know, by the door. She went like this. So I didn't think I know it. So me and Cameron kept walking. And all of a sudden, Cameron goes, and he grabs his face. And then I grab my face. I'm like, "Oh, Lord, my face is burning." So we went to the restroom and washed it off. My life is a sermon illustration. It is. It absolutely is. And I don't have to. I don't have to go to a book to look for illustrations. I don't. It's just my life. I mean, it really, truly is. But you know what? That was a silly illustration. It's a true story. But man, I made a mistake. It was a cell phone. But how many of you say, "Preacher, you know what? Yeah, that was just a cell phone. But to be honest, that was kind of maybe an illustration sometimes for my life." You know, you think you're doing this, only realize before it's over, before too long, you realize you made a very bad mistake. And you feel like you failed. I won't have you raise your hands, but I know in my own personal life, my walk with Jesus, and that's where I'm going with this. In my walk with the Lord, there have been times, man, that I felt like I failed. That I felt like, man, I'll never... I know God forgives me. I know that. But I just don't know that I could ever forgive myself. And, you know, there are some times that you make bad that I've done. And I don't want to stereotype the church today. But there have been times in my life that, man, I've made mistakes. And honestly, I said to my Sunday school class this morning, and I know this is all introduction. But I said to my Sunday school class this morning, I said, here's what you got to understand. And I hope we realize this. And I hope we really get a hold of this. It's only by God's grace any of us serve Him. You know that? It's only by God's grace any of us are sitting in this room today. That's the truth. It's only by the grace of God. And when you think about the grace of God, I mean, you think about His grace. You think about His mercy. You think about how He is, and this should bless your heart. He is a forgiving God. He is a forgiving God. You say, "Pastor, I know He forgives a sinner who is lost, and they ask God to forgive them of their sins. They believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and God saves them." Yes, He does do that, but you got to understand, and as we'll see in this text this morning, the book of 1 John was not written to those that don't know Christ. It was written to those that do know Jesus as their Savior. And John, in this tremendous book, has given us many, many things, many tremendous truths that we've looked at in the past. But today we're going to come to chapter 3, and we're going to examine the thought of, you know, Jesus is, he's still our life, even when we failed. When our heart says failure. 1 John chapter 3, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. John writes, and he says, "And hereby we know," verse 19 of chapter 3 of 1 John. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Notice verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart." You ever had people say, maybe you've said it, "Man, I've messed up, and man, my heart is hurting. My heart is broken for maybe something that you've done or something that you should have done but didn't do." And John writes in this text, he said, "For if our heart condemn us," look at this, "God is greater than our heart." What a friend we have in Jesus. God is greater than our heart. "And knoweth all things. Beloved, which, by the way, is one of the greatest words in the English language in this context. One of the greatest words. It's a very intimate word. It's a word that speaks of relationship. It's a word that speaks of our identity with Jesus. We're beloved of God. We are beloved of the Heavenly Father because of Jesus being our Savior. And he says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, verse 22, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. Father, even though we do love you, we pray that you'll help us to love you more. And we pray, God, that you'll help us to praise you more for your marvelous, wonderful grace and forgiveness. Bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Jesus is our life. You say, preacher, isn't that kind of a contradiction of statements? Jesus is our life. Jesus is our life, even when our heart condemns us, even when we've failed. Jesus Christ, and I'm going to show you biblically, Jesus Christ, he's still our life. You know, as a dad, you know, I'm grateful that as a father, there's absolutely, and you could say this, and let's just say it as parents, there's absolutely nothing that your children can do that will stop you from loving them. Amen? There's nothing that your child can do that will stop you from loving them. And let me just say on the authority of Scripture, there is nothing that you and I can do that could ever ever stop the Heavenly Father from loving us as his children. I said to Sunday school this morning, I said, you realize if you're born again, you are a kingdom kid. We're all kingdom kids if we know Christ as our Savior. And as a result of that, we see in this text some things that I hope to share with you today that will help us when your heart says failure, is Jesus Christ, understand and rest in that Jesus is still our life even when our heart says failure. So what do we do? What do we do when we feel like we failed? What do we do when we feel like we've messed up to the point that never will God use me again? Never, you know, will I ever be of effect? As far as I'll be able to be effective for the kingdom of God. But I want to show you biblically that that's not true. Those things are not true. God is a God that not only forgives, God is a God that also not only forgives us as his children when we mess up, we sin. He's also a God that restores us back to usefulness by his grace and mercy. You see, sometimes those people, you say, yeah, but pastor, isn't there some things that, you know, if we do that, you know, we may not have the same office, we may not same. You're right, there are some things, especially as preachers, you know, if we sin a certain sins and we've disqualify ourselves from ministry, yes, God is a God that forgives. Yes, God is a God that restores the fellowship. He may not restore us back to the same office or ministry, but he does restore the fellowship. And then, by the way, that's what's the most important. So what do we do? Number one, whenever your heart says failure, first of all, number one, rely on his assurance. Rely on his, God's, assurance. Look at the text in verse 19 again. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The word assure literally means, it means to soothe the heart. It means to calm the alarm of the heart. That's a tremendous word. So John is telling us, listen, if our heart condemns us, when our heart says failure, when you feel condemned because of something that you've done, you've got to understand that we don't rest in ourselves. We rest in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the only goodness, listen, the only goodness that is in us is what he has done in our life. He has produced in our life. And Jesus tells us through John's writings here, hey, when your heart condemns us, you rest in the promises. You rely on his assurance. He has assured our hearts there in verse 19 before him. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We can soothe our hearts. We can calm down the alarm of our hearts. I'll tell you what, that's one of the struggles sometimes that can happen to a believer. You ever notice this, that, and I've seen it, you've seen it, those that, man, they're not living like they should as a believer in Jesus. You ever notice how sometimes their countenance changes? You ever notice how sometimes it's as if their joy is gone, the smile has gone off their face, the joy has gone off their countenance, the song has left as far as coming off their lips? And why is that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you know Christ as your Savior, as I said to you, you are a kingdom kid. You and I have been born again. We're kingdom kids. We do not belong to ourselves any longer. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, he has called us to live different than this world lives. And because he's called us to live different than this world lives, and belonging to Christ, having our sins forgiven, you will not, listen, there is absolutely no way that we can sin, as it's been said, successfully. We can't sin successfully, meaning we can't sin and it not bother us as a child of God. I'm telling you, under God, every single time I've been tempted to sin, and every single time maybe giving in to whatever the temptation would be, giving in to whatever the thing might be, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit of God says, don't do it. The Holy Spirit of God presses upon the heart and says, do not do this. Do not do this. Don't do this. Don't make this decision. Don't do this. Don't do this. And then what does the Holy Spirit of God do if you do something that you shouldn't do? The Holy Spirit of God begins to press on your heart. Now, the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of God is such a wonderful part of the Godhead, because he uses God's word to soothe us. He uses God's word. And that's what John says. If our heart condemn us, we can assure, right? We can assure. Look at that. That's a tremendous word. Man, I love this word. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Verse 19, excuse me. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Man, what a blessing. Let me say something to you. You say, preacher, I've messed up. Preacher, I've made some questionable things. I've done some things that I shouldn't. I've done some things I'm not proud of. Let me just say something to everybody. Look up here for a minute. On the authority of the Word of God, God still loves you. He still loves you. Now, let me also say, though, that God's love is not, it's not an excuse to sin. It's not an excuse to, live like we want to live. We thank God for his word. We thank God for his promises. We thank God for his grace in our life. And we love him and we praise him and we honor him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful God. And when we think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is loving and caring and forgiving, we've got to rest in the promise of knowing that he still loves us. You see, because what the devil wants you to think, here's what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to think that when you sin and you blow it, the devil wants you to think that you are no longer loved by the Father. But you got to get this. God's love for us is never based on the performance that we do. We are not, listen, friend, God loves us regardless of what we do. And I know that's hard to believe, isn't it? That's hard to fathom. It's hard to wrap our mind around the truth that no matter what I do, God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Amen. He loves you if you're, listen, he loves you, friend. He's a great God. You say, Pastor, yeah, but I grew up in a home that love really wasn't shown. I grew up in a home where, you know, there weren't hugs, there weren't kisses, there weren't, you know, words of affirmation. I grew up in that. Well, here's what you got to hold of. Here's what you got to get a hold of. This is tremendous. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm going to say this to you. I can't wait to tell you this. God's word, if you'll read it, believer, if you'll read his word, there is promise after promise, promise after promise. Let me say this. There is kiss after kiss after kiss. He's a wonderful Savior. He said, Preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean, think about this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said over and over and over, he not only said he loves us, he shows he loves us. That's a big difference. That's a big deal. He said, Preacher, I was never, yeah, they may have told me that they love me, but I was never really shown that. It was never, you see, that's what's so crucial about love. We can say we love, but to be honest, and I talked about this, especially teenagers, young kids, young children, you know, we can tell them that we love them, and that's important. But if our actions don't go with what we say, here's what I want you to know. They're going to believe your actions or lack thereof over what you say. Jesus is a God. He not only tells us he loves us, he's a God that fleshed out that love. He's a God that says, hey, I love you. I'm going to show you how much I love you. So God tells us through John here in this text, we can assure our hearts. Look at verse 20. So the word assure, again, means to calm the alarm of the heart. It means to soothe the heart. And that's so important, you know, the broken heart. And listen, oh, I got to say this. I told you to go to verse 20. I'm going to say this. Believer, sin ought to break your heart when you do it. It ought to break your heart. It ought, and honestly, honest truth before God, we should never sin and be comfortable in doing that. It ought to break our heart because it breaks the heart of God. Look at verse 20. For if our heart condemn, the word condemn there, it means to look down on or to put down. If our heart condemn us, if our heart puts us down, if our heart says, you shouldn't have done this, if our heart says, you're a failure, if our heart says, what is wrong with you? How dare you? Look at the text. The Bible says, God is greater than our hearts. You see, although we are in Christ, we know Christ our Savior, yet we are aware of our failures. You ever let yourself down, and because of it, even your own heart feels guilty, and you feel awful. Where do you turn? You say, Preacher, I feel awful. And what the devil loves to do as well, the devil wants you to think, oh, I could never go back to that church. I could never go back to that church. They'll think ill of me. Oh, I could never go back to that church. That's what the devil wants to tell you. Oh, I can never go back to Emmanuel because I've sinned, I've messed up. And because I've messed up, people are going to look at me a different way. Listen, friend, if you will come back, you watching the internet, if you'll come back and you will, maybe you're out in the world and you're out in sin and you've been running from God. Listen, if you will come back, I promise you, you'll be received with open arms here. We love you. We'll forgive you. There isn't anything we won't forget. We'll forgive you. God forgives you. We forgive each other. You say, Preacher, why? Yeah, but why should we forgive each other? Listen, friend, because God forgives us. And if God forgives us, there's absolutely no reason we shouldn't forgive each other. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. So we see in this text, he says God is greater than our hearts. We rely on his assurance. Now, when it comes to his assurance and what we rely on, what do we rely on? Well, we notice, first of all, letter A, we rely on his omnipotence. The Bible says that God is greater than our hearts. We rely on the omnipotence of God, the all-powerful. That's what that means. When our heart condemns us, turn from the greatness of your sin and failure to the greatness of God's love and his mercy. We have a great God. We have a great God. Amen. We have a great God, friend. He knoweth all things. So we turn to his omnipotence. We rely on that. We also rely on his omniscience. Look at the text in verse 20. The latter part, the Bible says, and knoweth, the last sentence, he's greater than our heart, and knoweth, God knoweth all things. That's his omniscience. Good news. God knows everything. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows everything there is to know about me. And yet, he still loves us. Oh, wow. Wow. Isn't that overwhelming? God knows everything there is to know about us. And yet, he still loves us. You know what that's called? That's called grace. That's called grace. Grace, mercy, love. What a great God that he is. We rely on his omnipotence. He's greater. God's greater than our hearts. He's greater than our failures. He's greater than our sin. We rely on his omniscience. He knoweth all things. He knows all about us. I loved the illustration that Brother Ryan Massey gave when he was preaching revival. I believe it was last year, or maybe it was a teen conference. He talked about how, you know, if you can imagine, can you imagine? We have a pretty good size screen here. And if you can imagine for a moment, how would you feel? How would you feel? And honestly, this is a scary thought. How would you feel if every sin you've ever committed or will commit was put on that screen right there? How would you feel about that? Chances are there isn't one person that would want to sit in this room. There isn't one person that would want to stay in the theater, if you will. But Ryan Massey said, you know what's great about God? The Bible says that he knows all. He sees all. We know that he sees everything about us. He knows every detail about us. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, excuse me. But we know about Jesus. Ryan Massey says, God sees it all and still chooses to sit in the theater. Wow. He sees everything that we do. You say, yeah, but pastor, I mean, why and how could he do? Why does he? I can't fathom it. Why does God choose to love us? Because he's God. He's God. Every now and then someone will say, how do I know God loves me? And you know the answer is we'll often say, well, you look back to the cross of Calvary and you'll see how much God loves you. You'll see how much God loves us. But I'll say this to you today in the present. You say, preacher, how do you know God loves you? How do you know, pastor, that God still loves you? I'll tell you how I know. Because when I blow it, he forgives me. He forgives me. He assures my heart. He soothes. He calms the alarm of my heart. That's one of the reasons a person can know that they're born again. It's really, truly is. One of the reasons you can really know that you're born again is the fact that John even said that in verse 19. Look at that in verse 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We know we're of the truth, and because we know we're of the truth, we're born again. We know that we can assure our hearts before him. We know we're of the truth. We know the truth is in us as a believer in Jesus. And because it's in us, we know because we're of the truth, because we're born again, we know that when our heart condemns us, where do we go? We can go to God, and God can forgive us, and he will forgive us. Look up here. I don't know where you're at today. I honestly don't. I don't know where you're at as a believer. I pray to God that you're serving Jesus with every fiber of your being. I pray to God that you're on fire for Christ. I pray to God that you've never been more close to Jesus than you are right now. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But if you're here today and you say, preach, I'll be honest, just kind of going through the motions. Just kind of going through the motions. Just kind of, listen, God doesn't want any of his children just kind of going through the motions. He wants us to be totally sold out, man. He wants us to be on fire for Him. You say, Pastor, but yeah, life's gotten busy. Life's gotten crazy. Yes, it has. It has, probably for a lot of us in this room. Our lives get turned upside down. Our life, you know, we have our plans. I teased the other day. I said, man, Les and I were counting down the days. We've had all three of our kids in a private education in a Christian school, and we chose to do that. I'm not complaining. We chose to make that sacrifice financially to do that. But we were counting down the days. Toby's a junior in high school, and I promise you, we've been counting them down. Year and a half, man. Year and a half, and they're going to be done. Year and a half. And I teased the other day. I said, year and a half, and Leslie and I would be flying to Maui every 6 months, right? Yeah, amen. Maui's a little town down in Falmouth, Kentucky. But anyway, that's Maui. But anyway, yeah. But you know what? God has other plans. God says, no, you're I've got different plans for you. You're going to. To use one of the world's phrases you'll hear. Was a baby just born? That's what they do in the hospital. Baby gets born, they play music. Real soft music. Somebody just had a baby somewhere, but anyway. Yeah, you think you're going to be done. And you think you're going to be done raising children. But no, God says, I'm going to give you an opportunity, Tracy. Because you remember, Tracy, when your grandma and grandpa took you in and they didn't ask. They didn't hesitate. They didn't hesitate to welcome you in. And when you were 10-year-old and you're literally standing at the end of the driveway crying and sobbing because your mom just told you to get out of a car and go live with mom and dad, and you were standing there by yourself. And Tracy, you remember when God could say, you remember when your little grandmother came down there and asked you what was wrong, and you said to her, Mom told me to come and live with you. And my grandma, listen to this, my grandma responded, my Aunt Sarah told me this just a couple months ago, and I did remember it. She said, Tracy, if you remember what Mom said to you, I said, what exactly did she say? She said, Mom said to you, she didn't say, well, you know, okay, come to the house with me. Grandma responded, here's what she said. When I said, Mom said to come and live with you, Grandma said, well, she goes, let's go home then. Let's go home then. She welcomed me. So God is as if God's saying, Tracy, you're now going to have an opportunity to pay it forward. You're going to have an opportunity to bring children into your home that need stability. My house is crazy. Lord, my house is crazy. Now you're going to have an opportunity to bring these children in, and all they're going to have to worry about is being a child, being a kid. They'll be able to go to bed at night, prayerfully. I said to that Pearls of Wisdom, when I spoke at the Pearls of Wisdom fundraiser for Compassion Pregnancy Center, I said to them, I said, you know, when it comes to my life, and when I was in my grandparents' home, I promise you this, and I said this to those at that meeting, at that fundraiser the other day, I said, not one time when I lived with my grandparents did I ever question their love. Not one time did I ever feel that I wasn't loved in their home. I was loved there. I was secure there. I felt welcome there. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of laughter in my home. There was a lot of laughter in Big Rose and Ed Mays' home. There was a lot of laughter. We laughed constantly. We laughed with each other. We laughed at each other. But you know what? We now, Leslie and I, we're starting over. We're starting with a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, an 11-year-old. You say, Preacher, what do you feel about it? I don't know. No, we really are excited about it. And I know you pray for us, and please continue to pray for us. And we just want God's will. And in my ultimate prayer, and I mean this, my ultimate prayer is that God will arrest the heart of my sister, and that, you know, that God will work there, and she'll get her, you know, she'll be able to get her children back one day. And that's my heart and prayer to God, that would happen if the Lord will allow that to happen. If not, you know, we've already started the process. you know, that we'll adopt them. We'll be more than happy to adopt them and love on them and prayerfully give them unconditional love. You say, Pastor, but do you know all the details? No, I honestly don't. I don't know how. I don't necessarily know how, other than it's going to be the Lord. It's going to be His grace that's going to allow us to do it. But John says, and I'm done, when you feel like a failure, when you feel like a failure, rely on His assurance, not your assurance. You can't keep yourself safe for 1 minute. You and I couldn't keep ourselves saved for a half a day if it was up to us to keep ourselves saved. But the good news is, it's not up to us. It's up to Him. And I got news for you. He will do it. We're in His hand. We are kept by the Father. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:20, I believe it is. Do you feel like a failure? Do you feel like you'll never be used of God again? Rely on His assurance. He's greater than your heart. You say, Preacher, my heart just, I can't. And I know many of you struggle with this because I've seen it. Preacher, I just can't forgive myself. Well, that's unfair. It's unfair for you to do that. And the reason it's unfair for you to do that is if God, and I've said this to you a million times, if God forgives you, if the Lord Jesus forgives you, you and I do not have, we don't have the right to not forgive ourselves. If God forgives us, we don't have the right not to forgive ourselves. He's a wonderful God. I've said that a million times, but I sincerely mean that. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Heavenly Father. John even calls us again after telling us, if your heart condemn us, he goes right in and he says, Beloved, wait a minute. Your heart condemns you. You feel like a failure. You feel like you're of no count. You feel like you're of no use again. And then he goes right in and he says, he calls you beloved of God. Why? Because you still are. You still are. Where are you at today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't, I give you an opportunity to trust Him. Asking God to forgive you of your sins, and by faith believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe you are here today and say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. I absolutely know I'm saved, but I'm just miserable because I messed up a long time ago. Maybe it was years ago. Preacher, I've sinned. And man, I was ashamed by that. I've never forgiven myself. And as a result, you haven't been effective for Christ these many years. So I'm telling you, I'm hoping and praying that you'll repent, that you'll forgive yourself, right? Forgive yourself. And let's move forward. Let's go on for the Lord. Let's go on serving Him. Let's all stand, please, for Hymn Invitation. Brother Ryan is going to come and lead us. We trust if God has dealt with your heart that you'll respond. And I hope you will. I hope that you sincerely will do that. Maybe you say, Preacher, I just got some things that I need to pray about. Hey, come forward. Come to the altar. God will help you. The Lord will help you. Rest in Him. Rest in His assurance. He'll help you. What's your number, bud?
382, Have Thine Own Way.
382, Have Thine Own Way is a song. You come as we sing.